Let me give you my BSU testimony right quick. I've tried to come down here on several occasions to listen, especially to a good friend of mine who from San Francisco, Mike Thompson. And about 2 years ago, I came down to hear Mike, and this is true. Some of you know this is true. I was hit by a car crossing Boyd. Never got to hear Mike speak. Well, not getting the message, he was here last summer. And so last summer I said, well, we'll come down and hear him again. And Kathy was moving into her apartment that day, and so we came down a little bit early. And I thought I'd go out and jog, and I was jogging down Lindsay, and I fractured my ankle jogging. So I really appreciate John's faith in inviting me down here and the Lord's goodness and the fact that I'm here in one piece. The other thing about John's faith that I really appreciate is when he called me up and asked me to speak, I said, well, what do you want me to speak on? And John said, well, whatever the Lord lays on your heart. Well, I thought, well, that's interesting. And he said, well, why don't you just share what God's been doing in your life? Well, what he didn't know, and this will come out in a minute, that I was in a state that none of you ever get in. None of you ever have a pity party, do you? And you get kind of depressed. I didn't think anybody down here would, all right? And I was kind of discouraged. And I thought, I don't really want to share with this group discouragement. But I thought, well, whatever the Lord lays on my heart. So you've already been told that two of my daughters, Kim, who's in Fort Worth now, and Kathy, who's right here. And I need to introduce my wife, who's also here, Joanne. Would you stand up a minute? Okay. My better half. Thank you. My youngest daughter, who will be a freshman next year, some of you may have met Lori, she came up to me and said, Dad, what are you going to talk about? You're going to talk about finances. I've gotten a reputation that I can give a scriptural talk on finances, and she just thought that that's what John wanted me to talk about. And I'm known around the house as El Cheapo, if that's... I said, no, I'm not talking about finances, and her eyes got real big, and she said, well, you must be talking about dating. Because I have a talk that I give on dating, and I said, well, no, I'm not. And she looked at me with one of those looks like, well, I don't understand. I think that's the only thing you know. if she was here tonight, she'd be surprised. But anyway, God has done a work in my life since John called a couple weeks ago. And I gave him the topic last Sunday, and he really had faith for having me come down, because the topic is God on summer vacation? Is God on summer vacation? Because quite frankly, that's where I thought I was. I thought that God had hooked him for Padre Island and was on vacation and left me in Oklahoma City. Now, again, I know none of you ever think that way. But as I began to let the Lord talk to me in this particular area, boy, I got excited, because the first thing he did was from his word, he showed me, and this thing's going to have 4 points. Those of you taking notes. First point, God's encouraging model. God's encouraging model. M-O-D-E-L. Now, I was introduced as coming from Oklahoma City. Those of you that are very keen in dialect will very quickly pick up that I am not a native Oklahoman. All right, I am from New Jersey. And yous guys are a strange bunch to me. I was raised on Thoyd and Thoyd Avenue, and but I've tried to clean up my talk a little bit. So I'll try to speak so you can understand. But God's encouraging model. Turn, if you would, those of you who have a Bible, 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 27. And God really encouraged me, and I'm so thankful to the Lord. You know, in Romans 15:4, it says, "For whatever was written in earlier times was given for our instruction, that through perseverance and encouragement of the Scripture we might have hope." And I'm so glad that when God put the Bible together, that He told us the whole story about some of His choicest men. And in 1 Kings 18, we see the whole story about a man named Elijah. And He told the whole story about him. And the thing that excited me is I had just come off a mountaintop. I had had a number of mountaintop experiences in my life. And that's what happened to Elijah in about verse 27 of 1 Kings 18. Elijah was up on the mountain, if you remember, and he was doing battle with the people, the priests and prophets of Baal, and he was taunting them. And it says there that he came about at noon, that Elijah mocked them and said, call out with a loud voice, for he is God. Either he is occupied or gone aside, or he is on a journey, or perhaps he's asleep and needs to be awakened. McAtee paraphrases that is, your God's on summer vacation. He ain't around. And old Elijah was having a great time, and for the next several verses he was having a great time taunting them, and nothing happened. And then you get down toward the end of the chapter, like in about verse 27, and boy, he is, down about verse 38 through 40, and boy, God comes down and burns up the sacrifice, and Elijah's the winner. I mean, he has really done it. He's on a spiritual high. And then his God goes on summer vacation for him. Because if you look at chapter 19 and verse 2, a wicked queen sends a message to Elijah and says, in effect, I'm going to get you. Because what he'd done is he destroyed all of her prophets. And she was rather hacked by the whole thing. And she said, I'm going to get you. Now, the same God who had just given him that victory, he now says, uh-oh, in verse 3, I'm afraid and I ran for his life. And then he began to do what I do sometimes and maybe what you do sometimes. He headed into the wilderness. And he got out there in verse 4 of chapter 19, and at the end of that verse it says, it is enough now, O Lord, take my life, for I am not better than my father's. He says, man, I've had it. I want out. This is a big hassle. You're not here. And in effect what he's saying again is, God, my God now, you've gone on summer vacation. You've taken off. And the exciting thing is that when we get that way, God really has a way of coming through. Because if you look in verse 5, God sends an angel to him, and he says, arise and eat. God's going to start to bless him. And in verse 9, the Lord himself came to Elijah and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And then if you go on to 11 through 18, God showed himself to Elijah in a very real way. And after that, Elijah went back following the Lord and ended up, selecting Elisha as a follower and continued with his ministry. And I'm encouraged by the fact that one of God's choicest people, Elijah, can be my model and can show me that when I get discouraged, God can come and restore me and lift me up. Now, so that's an encouraging model. Now, if you're going to follow the Lord has brought to my attention some things that that I need to remember about him that will help me, just like it helped Elijah. And I titled this part of it, God's Enterprising Methods. God's Enterprising Methods. You know, the sad thing is that while I was being so discouraged, I was not seeing what God was about in my life. And once I began to see what God was about in my life, what he was doing at this particular point in time, boy, it really turned my life around in the last couple of days. First enterprising method comes from Proverbs chapter 20, verse 24, which says, since the Lord is directing our steps, why try to understand everything that happens along the way? That's from the Living Bible. What that means is that God's sovereign work in my life is beyond my full comprehension. Right? And I've got to realize that if I'm going to get in on what God's trying to do in my life. And if I'm going to realize that he's not on a summer vacation. So, I'm not going to understand all that God's about in my life. That's the first thing I've got to realize in his enterprising methods. Second thing in his enterprising methods, I don't really like. But the problem is, I don't really get a vote on this, nor do you. And it's found in Romans 8:28. And we all know Romans 8:28, and we can all quote it. But when the rubber hits the road, sometimes we don't want to accept it. And again, the basic of Romans 8:28 says in the Living, for all things work together for good. Now, that doesn't say some things work together for good, or I get a choice on what things work together for good, but God's enterprising method in all this is that all things work together for good. Now, if you can explain that, I wish you would. I can't. Somebody said, the Bible says it, that settles it. And that's true. We either accept that thing as true, or we got a bit of a problem. So the second point of God's enterprising methods is that everything that happens to me, God says will work together for good. Everything. Third point. From Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. God makes an interesting statement in Numbers 23, 19. That really gets us into one of his enterprising methods. He says, God is not man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. And here's the real key, I think. Has he said and will he not do it? Or has he spoken and will he not make it good? God will perform. That's one of his methods. He will perform. It's part of his character. He will perform. He'll do it. And I've got to realize that. So that's the third aspect of his enterprising method. Now the fourth one, which helps me when I'm thinking that he's on summer vacation, really comes from two verses of Scripture. James chapter 1 verse 17 and Malachi chapter 3 verse 6. James 1:17 says that there is no variableness or changing with the Lord. And Malachi 3:6 says, He does not change. In fact, God says in there himself, I do not change. God himself says that. God does not change. So, that's the fourth aspect of his end. God doesn't change. Now, if you wanted to go to verse that we're all familiar with, Hebrews 13:8, where Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, again, the same thing. God does not change. Next one. Fifth point on his enterprising methods. Another verse of Scripture that you're all familiar with, I'm sure. Isaiah 55:8-9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither my ways your ways, declares the Lord of hosts. For just as my thoughts are higher than yours, and my ways than yours, so the heavens are higher than the earth. God's ways are different than mine. Isaiah 55:8-9. Now, if I'm going to lock in to the fact that God is not on vacation and he has enterprising methods, then this is one truth that I have to realize. His ways aren't mine. And I'll share a couple of examples in just a minute on what that can mean to us in a practical situation. Next one, I don't know if you realize it or not, but if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is nothing but nothing but nothing that is going to take you out of that position. Nothing. And Philippians 1:6 teaches us that God will complete his work. Now, sometimes I lose sight of that. And I think God must be finished with me. He's taken off for Padre Island. He's taken off for Romania. And he's finished with me. Philippians 1:6 says, no, God will complete his work. So, now, the corollary of that is that sometimes, some of you may have had this experience, that you you accepted Christ and you began to walk with him. You came down here to the BSU. My real intimate relationship with the Lord started at the BSU in about 1971. One day we came down here for lunch and we met a tall, skinny guy. I don't kind of forget his name. And he took us over to D's and we were asking a bunch of questions. And every time we asked a question, he shot back a Bible verse. And I thought that was unique. I'd never heard anybody do that before. And we ordered a meal at D's, and I still remember it, and the lunch came, and being a hungry young man, what do you think the first thing I did? I started to reach for my hamburger to eat it. But he didn't do this. You know, he stopped and prayed. And I'd never seen anybody pray in a restaurant before. Believe it or not, that simple act right there was one of the things that started me on my spiritual walk. Now, since that time, if I told you that I, you know, was perfect and always walked with the Lord and was consistent and all, hey, I'd be telling you a lie. But I'm encouraged that Proverbs 24:16 is in the Bible, along with Philippians 1:6. Proverbs 24:16 says, "For the righteous man falls seven times and rises again." And I hope that seven is the perfect number, because I've had more than my quota of seven right now. But I'm encouraged that God's not finished with me yet. Even though I may think so, He's not. And there's nothing that I can do, really, to change that. And I'm excited about it. That encourages me. And the last one comes from Psalms 121, which kind of sums up, I think, if we could ever get this into our mind, on the methods of God. God doesn't take summer vacations. Now, obviously, you all knew that, but I didn't know that a couple weeks ago, because I really thought He'd taken one. And Psalms 121, I was really excited when I began to meditate again on Psalms 121 and find out that He doesn't take summer vacations, because it says in verse 3, "He who keeps you will not slumber." He doesn't even go to sleep. And He says that again in verse 4. And then it says, of course, "The Lord your keeper" in verse 5. "The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night." Hey, he's looking after me in the day and the night. And then here's the real encouragement to me in verse 8. "The Lord will guard Larry's going out and Larry's coming in from this time forth and forever." He's going to do it. He's going to guard me from this time forward and forever. He doesn't take summer vacations. So, those are seven insights on God's enterprising methods on the way God works. Now, how does that translate in everyday life? Third point, God's exciting manifestations. Now, some of you have already picked up that encouraging model, enterprising methods, and exciting manifestations all begin with E and M. I learned that from my wife. She's a teacher in a Bible study, and they're big on this thing called homiletics. And with John Strapisone being that dignified man that he is, I thought, well, I'll try to put this together homiletically, so, you know, y'all will be impressed. So that's why they all start with E. Exciting manifestations. I don't really know what that means, but it sure fits in the whole thing. So if you're confused, welcome to it. I'm going to share with you now seven areas of my life that God has manifested one or more of these methods in just the recent days. All right? This is called bringing your testimony up to date. And I got a couple of neat testimonies of how God healed my dislocated shoulder, and how God got me off a mountaintop in Colorado, and how God got me out of financial bankruptcy, and all kinds of neat things. But that's all in the past. This is what God's been doing just in my life in the last couple of weeks. And I'm going to begin with a very simple one. Everybody knows Philippians 4:19, right? "My God shall supply all your needs from His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Well, the first thing that happened in this area started about, maybe 3 weeks ago. Now, some of you are going to laugh when I start this. My wife laughed. She said, "That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard." One morning, she usually gets up and gets me lunch. And most of the time, I just eat in the Kimray Commissary. I just take a sandwich and go out there and eat and take a few minutes and go back to work. And she usually packs me lunch. And I was in the bathtub taking my morning bath. Nothing too exciting here yet. And you ever had the Lord give you an impression, in the bathtub? And I had this impression that the Lord said, "Don't have your wife fix lunch today." Now, that's not exactly the kind of impression I like to get, because I like to eat. But I thought, well, Lord, that's an interesting thought. I really hadn't thought about that. And He said, "No, just don't have your wife fix lunch today. Have Joanne fix lunch." And He said, "Would you be content if you didn't get to eat today?" Well, the Bible talks about fasting. Not one of my more favorite subjects, but it does talk about that. And I thought, well, I have some problems in my life. A fast probably could be, you know, advantageous. So, yeah, I guess I probably could be content if I didn't eat. He said, would you be content if I could eat? Oh, well, you know, yeah, Lord, I'd really like that. He said, well, why don't you just try me? Just don't have her fix lunch. So I got up and got out of the bathtub and got dressed, and she said, you want some lunch today? I said, no, thanks. I just don't think I'll have you fix any lunch today. I left and went to the office, and at 8:15, one of the guys that works for me came into my office and said, Larry, I just got a call from a company in Shawnee. They want to come up, and they want you and me to share with them how we've accomplished some of the things we've accomplished in business. And they would like to, guess what? Take you and me out to lunch. I thought, well, isn't that interesting? All right. So instead of a sandwich in the Kimray Commissary, I went to the Oklahoma Line Barbecue and had a delicious barbecue lunch. All right. I thought, if you're going to take advantage of the Lord, you might as well. I had the mixed plate, and I mean, I had it all. In fact, I even had homemade ice cream afterwards. If the Lord's going to bless you, you better go for it. All right. Well, as I was putting this talk together, I shared that with Joanne, and she said, that's ridiculous. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I said, well, okay, that's what happened. So as I was putting this talk together, I was going to share that. And I thought, well, kids down there are probably going to ask the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And the Lord said, why don't you put me to the test again? I said, Lord, you came through once. Let's not get, you know. He said, no. Why don't you just purpose not to go, this was Sunday, why don't you just purpose not to have anybody fix you lunch tomorrow on Monday? I thought, well, okay. Now, I said, and if I don't eat, that's fine, because, you know, I can still use the fast. And so I got to work on Monday, and we were supposed to have an appointment. Some guys were supposed to come in and sell us a computer, and they came in, and they were supposed to be there at 10 o'clock. Well, at 9:30, the phone rang, and guess what? They weren't going to be there at 10 o'clock. They were going to be delayed to 11 o'clock. So, okay, 11 o'clock came, and they showed up, and they wanted to go on a tour of the plant, so I had one of the guys take them on a tour of the plant, and they came back to my office, and it must have been about 12:15 when they got back into the office, and the guy walked in, and I was sitting there, and guess what the first words he said was? Let's go to lunch. This is really working, all right? Well, and then he said, where do you want to go? Well, I thought, well, since the Lord blessed me at Oklahoma Line Barbecue one time, we'll go there. So we went there. We had great lunch. So that was Monday. Well, Tuesday comes. And I thought, two experiences, that's enough to sell the kids that God's not on vacation. But the Lord said, why don't you do it again? Well, so Tuesday morning, I did the same thing. No lunch. Went there. Out of the clear blue, our insurance man called. He said, I've got this guy. I want to bring him by. I want you to meet him. Can you meet us at about 11 o'clock? I want him to share a few things with you. So I said, okay. So he came by, and he's never taken me to lunch before. Now, he did take me to Oklahoma City Golf and Country Club one time to play golf, and that doesn't count, but he never taken me to lunch before. And so we got through talking, and it was about 11:30, and he said, oh, by the way, guess what he said? Could you have lunch with us? All right, well, okay. Now, this one didn't come out quite so good, because guess where he wanted to take us? No, Oklahoma Line Barbecue. Now, by this, I had barbecue on Monday, but I thought, well, you know, you don't want to go against the Lord's blessing, so Oklahoma Line Barbecue again, all right? Well, Wednesday was kind of a cheating thing, because I'd gotten a call last Friday from our banker, and they invited me to the Whitehall Club downtown Oklahoma City. Now, I'm not bragging on me. I hope you don't get it. But this is how God works, all right? When God starts pouring out his blessings, he goes all the way. So I went down there, and they provided lunch down there. So this morning I thought, well, it's Thursday. I really need to eat because I like to have something to eat before I speak, because we won't have dinner till afterwards. So, Lord, maybe I ought to take, some food to eat in the office. And he said, why don't you just do it again? I said, Lord, this is ridiculous. I don't want to keep bothering you like this. And he said, do it again. So I did it again. I showed up this morning to work with no lunch. And 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, nothing happened. 11:15, I'd forgotten about it. And I walked into the purchasing manager's office who works for me, and I sat down. I began to visit with him a little bit about a couple of things. And one of the people who sells us things, I don't deal directly with him, walked into the office. And I said, well, you got somebody here, you got an appointment, excuse me, I'll leave. As I was getting up and leaving the office, guess what this salesman said? You want to go to lunch? So, we went to lunch. Now, God's exciting manifestation, that may not be too big a deal to you, but that was exciting to me to see God confirm His Word in that very simple way and just show me, hey, I'm not on summer vacation. Just trust me. And that's the meaning of 1 Peter 5:7. Let Him have all your worries and cares. He's interested in little things like that. So that's the first manifestation. All right. The second thing that's been happening lately. This is going to be kind of tough for me to get through. I'll try to get through it. I'm kind of emotional sometimes, my oldest daughter is in Fort Worth, and she's down there. Really feels the Lord wants her there, and we're real excited about that. And Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's older, he'll remain upon it." And several years ago, the Lord gave me two verses out of Proverbs 23, verses 15 and 16, which I've kind of taken as a promise for all three of my girls. And one of the things that will make me the happiest is when their heart and their lips speak what is right. Okay, now, my kids are like you. They're not perfect. I'm not perfect. We have problems, the whole thing. But my goal for their life, one of my goals, is for them to speak what is right. Well, here's what happened this week. My daughter called and said, "You're not going to believe what the Lord has done. The Lord has given me an opportunity to teach 3 weeks and going to pay me $1,000. Now, that ain't bad, is it? All right? There was only one problem. She had committed to one of the members of her new church down there that she, this summertime, would clean house for $4.45 or something like that a week. An hour, not a week. That's really committing, isn't it? About $4.50 a week, an hour, I'll get it out, that she would clean house. And she said, "You know, I've given him my word that I would do this." I said, "Well, yeah." She said, "But I'm going to go speak to him tonight and see if maybe I can clean house in the afternoons, and in the morning I can take this teaching job for $1,000 for 3 weeks." Now, that ain't bad loot, all right? That's not bad at all. Well, the next day she called back, and she could have knocked me over with a feather, because she said, "I've called him, and he can't rearrange the schedule, and I am not going to take the teaching job." Now, Psalms 15, verse 4, says that one of the characteristics of the person that God likes is a person who will swear to their own hurt, who will say, "I will do something, and then will do it." Right? When she said back to me, "I'm going to turn down that teaching job because I gave my word to this fellow member of the church that I would work for him in the morning," then that really excited me, that God was at work. So, that's an exciting manifestation right there. Next exciting manifestation. I had a similar experience. Now, this is a little bit older testimony. This one goes back to something that happened in February, but it shows how God will work. I really had a impression from the Lord as early as last December that I needed. I teach sometimes part-time at Rose State. And God had impressed me, "Don't teach in the springtime. I'm going to take care of you with some extra money and a teaching opportunity." I said, "Lord, I hope you know what you're doing, because we've got, you know, a girl at OU and a girl in private Christian school and a girl at home who didn't know that she wasn't supposed to be supported by me. That was the oldest daughter, you know." I said, "You know, we got bills and all, like the rest of it." I said, "You know, you sure you know what you're doing, Lord?" And the Lord said, "Yeah, don't worry about it." So I told him I wouldn't teach in the spring. Well, in February, I committed that to the Lord. In February, a man called me and said, "Larry, would you like to teach a special seminar on a particular subject?" And that's the answer. The Lord has come through. Proverbs 22:29 says that a man who's skilled in his work will not stand in the background, but will stand before kings. And I'd come across that verse, and I just really had the confidence that God was going to do something like that in my life in that time frame. So I said, yeah, I really would. I said, when is it going to be? And he said, well, it's going to be on Tuesday nights, and it's going to start like the 19th of February, and it's going to be every Tuesday night. And I looked at my schedule, and boy, that's great. Didn't conflict with any of my youngest daughter's ball games or anything. I said, boy, that's great. Sounds good. I'll take it. That's from the Lord. Well, a couple of days later, he calls me back, and he says, Larry, I made a mistake. It doesn't start on the 19th of February. It starts on the 12th of February. Well, I looked at my calendar, and guess what was going on the 12th of February? A girls' basketball game. My big chance, all right, to get into this whole new area, to stand before kings, and I got to go watch a girls' basketball game. Because, see, my daughter's playing in that. And God's convicted me that He'll take care of things like that. So I said, you know, John, I really got a problem. I can do it starting the 19th, but I can't do it starting the 12th. So I really appreciate the offer, but I've got to say no thank you. And hung up, and I was free. I thought, God, I don't know what's going on, but I'm free from this. It's up to you. Leave it in your hands. Next morning at the office, phone rings. Guess who it is? John. Guess what he says? Larry, I've decided that we will have to move the seminar starting from the 12th to the 19th, and we want you to teach it anyway. Now, some of you might think, well, the reason he did that was because I was so fantastic and such a great speaker and such a recognized expert in this area that he just couldn't turn it down. Let me tell you the way God loves to work. God loves to work through our strength or through our weakness. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says He likes to work through our weakness. You see, the seminar that I'm teaching, right, I'm not even certified in that area. This is one of those technical seminars and you're supposed to be certified that you've reached a certain level of expertise. I'm not certified. He's never heard me speak, right, and knows nothing about me. Now, you tell me who put that whole situation together. God loves to work in situations like that. Next area. This one is really exciting. It started about 30 days ago in the area of ministry. Now, I don't know how many of you want a ministry, but, you know, when I started walking with the Lord, I really wanted a ministry. I thought, man, that'd be neat to have a ministry. And a man shared with me that if I take care of my depth or my personal walk with the Lord, that the Lord would take care of bringing people across my path that He wanted me to minister to. And that's kind of been my motto since then. So I don't make a big deal. I don't walk around with a sign saying, you know, come to me, I'd like to minister to you. And it's amazing what God did. Well, He did this about 30 days ago. I was coming to church, and well, I'll tell you who it was, Nella White. Y'all probably know Sister Nella, okay? Sister Nella came running up to me all excited and said, Larry, there's this guy you've got to meet. He really needs help. And I thought, oh, Nella, come on. You know, I really wasn't in a ministry mood right then, but I thought, well, I know how to handle this. You know, you can always say, well, I'll pray for him or, you know, or something like that. And I said, well, okay, Nella. I said, if he wants to be helped, have him call me. I thought, that'll take care of that situation. All right. So she was all excited. Okay. And we're standing in the vestibule of the church, and her eyes get real big. And guess who walks in the door? The guy that she wants me to minister to. Now, I'm beginning to get the message now that God has kind of got His hand in this, all right? So, but I wasn't totally sold on it yet, so I said, well, okay. I said, when can we get together? Hey, the guy said, well, how about tomorrow morning? I thought, this is ridiculous. You know, tomorrow morning, I got to be at work at 8 o'clock. I said, well, I thought this will scare him away. I said, well, how about that? Okay, the only way I can meet with you is across town from where you live, at 7 o'clock, he said, I'll be there. Right? Now, 2 Timothy 2:2 encourages you and I to pass on to others those things that God has taught us. Well, that started a relationship that has been a tremendous encouragement to me. We met again this morning. We've met every week since then. And I've seen God take somebody who was so discouraged and so down that he was literally thinking about ending his life, Now, this is no little kid. This is a 48-year-old man, by the way, we're talking about, all right, that was so discouraged. And, you know, during this time, I'm off and on again discouraged, thinking God's on summer vacation. And I'm just sharing with this guy scripture that I happen to know that the Lord has laid on me and situations in my life. And today, we meet, and he's got a job. He was unemployed. He's got a job, and he's all excited about this. And here's the interesting thing. He said, Larry, he said, the thing that has meant the most to me was the encouragement that God got to me through you. And I thought, bingo, all right? Because that had to come from the Lord, because while I've been encouraging him, what have I been? Discouraged. Right? So God taught me right there that if I'm available, he'll handle everything else. So that was kind of exciting. Now let me give you one that doesn't have such a happy ending. Last month, something happened in our family to one of our family members, which I thought, and my wife thought, and everybody in the family thought that knew about it, was just a real grave injustice. Something bad had happened. Right? Now Romans 8:28 says all things work together for good. Hey, this was not good. All right. Now, the godly approach would have been to praise the Lord, rejoice in the Lord always. All right. My approach was I just got plain hacked. All right. But God has taught me that his ways are not my ways. So he's also taught me the power of making an appeal. Proverbs 21:1 is one of the most fantastic ways that God loves to work. The king's heart is like channels of water in the hands of the Lord. He turns it whichever way he wants. So, God, I really don't want to do this, but you want me to make an appeal. So we went and made an appeal. Now, I've made some appeals recently, and it's been amazing how God has come through and changed the heart of the king. Guess what happened this time? God didn't change the heart of the king. And that's one of the real areas of life that can be a tremendous encouragement to you and I. Because if you read in Daniel 3:17 and 18, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were called before the king, and the king said, hey, I'm going to chunk you guys into the fire, they said, well, yeah, okay, go ahead. Our God can deliver us from the fire. And then in the next verse, in verse 18, it starts with a little three-letter word, but even if he doesn't, we're still going to follow our God. And that is real faith, I believe, right? And so the exciting thing that we've gotten out of that particular situation is that God did not change the heart of the king, but that we can still have faith in God. And the final chapter of that one is not written yet. I don't know how that's going to come out. I was encouraged by that manifestation right there where God could say no and then allow our faith to grow because of it. Next one. Earlier in the prayer, it was alluded to some of the things that have happened in the last couple of days. Hey, I'm excited about God's manifestation in two areas, and I'll just share them right quick. This is my theology, and if you don't like it on this one, you can write this one out of your notes. Proverbs 11:11 says, "The good influence of the godly citizens causes a city to prosper, but the moral decay of the wicked drives it downhill." That's the Living Bible's translation. What that says is that if you got bad people in a city involved, that it's going to go downhill. Anybody read the paper and see a city in Oklahoma near here, a large city that's having financial problems? Like Oklahoma City? Yeah. They're having severe financial problems. And when I read that, I got excited because what's Oklahoma City been trying to do to solve some of their financial problems? They've been promoting every kind of godless activity that you could think of to raise money. And I believe the fact that they're running out of money right now is a manifestation of God at work. God said, if that's what you're going to do, I'm going to make Proverbs 11:11 come to bear on you. And another one that I think is exciting in a way and is the hostage situation in Iran. Lebanon. I've got to get my hostages right. Do you know that God, in Genesis, the 16th chapter and the 12th verse, told you and I that that kind of a situation was going to happen? And when I shared that on Sunday morning with some of the guys at my Sunday school class, I've never seen guys get eyes bigger than that. Because if you read Genesis 16:12, you will find out that God, in his word, said, that the descendants of Ishmael and his descendants, their hand would always be against other people's hands. There would always be strife between the descendants of Ishmael and everybody else in the world. Now, if that's not a prime example of strife, an idiotic action that makes no sense other than God said back in Genesis that's what was going to happen, I don't know what is. So I'm excited about that manifestation. Last one, and then I'll close right quick. The other thing that God's been teaching me, none of you ever think that you don't make enough money. Everybody here is totally well paid in their job, right? God has really been doing a work in my life in the last couple of weeks in making me content with my wages, and I'll share the verse that God has really brought to mind, Luke chapter 3, verse 14, where John the Baptist is talking to soldiers, and he says, guys, here's what I want you to do, and the final part of that verse is, and be content with your wages. And that's an exciting manifestation of how God is making me content with the wages that he's provided. Now, closing. That may not be too exciting to you, but that was exciting to me, how God had made his word alive in just the last 30 days when I began to see it. Then I began to think of his excellent motives. What's God all about? Because if he'll do that for me, he'll probably do it for you, because I'm no better than you are. And he brought to mind some verses of Scripture on his excellent motives. 2 Chronicles 16:9, the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. God's looking for people like you and like me who will say, God, I don't understand. I read about your enterprising methods. I want to see your exciting manifestations because I know your motive is to strongly support me. And Romans 8:29, for from the very beginning in the living it said, God decided that all who would come to him would become like his son, so that his son would be the first with many brothers. God's motive in what he does in my life and your life is to conform me and to conform you to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And why? Because Jeremiah 29:11 says, for the plans I have for you, says the Lord, are plans for good and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. And when we lock into that, we can have the same kind of a testimony that Paul had in Philippians 3:10-12, where he said, forgetting what lies behind and realizing I have not laid hold of it yet, I press on for that high calling. And that high calling was a personal, intimate knowledge with the Lord Jesus Christ, and to develop Christ-likeness and to really realize the power of Christ in his life. What's God done? Is he on summer vacation? No, he's given me anyway an encouraging model. He's given me some enterprising methods. He's given me some exciting manifestations once I begin to meditate on it, because he's got an excellent motive, and he's got the same thing in store for each of you. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we can come to you and we can share our weaknesses, we can share our joys, we can share our hurts. Thank you that you're a God who's intimately interested in every area of our lives. And thank you for the way that you've worked in my life in just the last week to encourage me. And I just pray now that for anyone who's in this group that knows the Lord Jesus Christ personally, that if they're discouraged right now, that the truth from your word will also encourage them. And if there be one here who does not know the Lord Jesus personally, that they too could get in on your wonderful plan by accepting him as your personal Savior. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.